Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlean and today we will be studying Tehillim, Perek Nun, Perek 50. We have just finished the series of Mizmorim of the Bnei Korach and we are about to learn the first of several songs of Asaph. This particular song is the only one of the Mizmorim of Asaph in Sefer Sheni that we will be learning together. The remaining 11 are found at the beginning of Sefer Shlishi, the third book of Tehillim. Asaph was another one of the composers of Tehillim, and he is mentioned in the first parak of Divrei Hayamim as one of David HaMelech's contemporaries, and he was a prominent singer. He, along with other Levim, were tasked with singing and the playing of instruments after David HaMelech successfully brought the Aron to Yerushalayim. So what does Asaph sing about in our parak? Well, it's not exactly a celebratory song, like perhaps what was said when the Aron was brought to Yerushalayim. We just finished Perek Memtes, which was a mizmor not about longing or calling out to God or even suffering. It was basically a musr shmuz, if you will. They were words of direction and caution. And here too, Perek Nun is a perek with words that are going to rebuke us. And the major theme of the perek is that the karbanos, the sacrifices that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash should not just be empty rituals, but should represent authenticity and sincerity. Therefore, this mizmor could very likely have been said as the people made their way to the Beis HaMikdash to bring karbanos during the Shalosh Regalim as a way to prepare them to put more meaning into their ritual practice. The first pasuk has Hashem's name three times, representing different manifestations of Hashem. Mizmor la'asaf, kel, elokim, Hashem, diber, vayikra aretz, mimizrach shemesh ad mevo'o, a song of Asaph. Kael, all-powerful, Elohim, the judge of strict justice, Hashem, the justice that is tempered with Hashem's sense of rachamim, his mercy. Hashem has spoken from all corners of the world, from east to west. Hashem has spoken through his Nevi'im, through the Torah, and through the transmitters of Torah. Pasuk Beis 2, Mitzion Michlal Yofi Elohim Hofia, from Tzion, perfect in beauty, Hashem has appeared. And here, we invoke Yerushalayim as the epicenter. We had a similar pasuk in Perek Memches, Yefei Nof, Mesos Kol Haaretz. And as we said, Yerushalayim really is the nerve center of the world. And therefore, by definition, any instruction that you hear, when you distill it down, the source is Yerushalayim. So we continue, and the psukim Gimel through Zion, 3 through 7, call on us to take heed of the words that are about to be said. Let the heavens and the earth be witness. And pasuk Ches, lo al zvav checha ochi checha v'olo secha l'negdi tamid. I censure you not because you did not bring enough sacrifices, but because of the quality and intent of those karbanos. And Tes and Yud 9 and 10, Lo akach mi beischa par mi michlo secha atudim, ki li kol chayso ya'ar, behemos, beharrei aleph. I, says Hashem, do not need to take your bulls from your home or your goats from your pens, because everything is mine by definition. Do you think that when you bring sacrifices that you're giving me something that I need? And Psukim Yud Aleph through Yud Gimel, Yadati kol of harim, vizisa da'i madi, im er'av lo omar loch, ki li sevel umlo'ah. I know every bird of the mountain, every creature of the field is mine. Do you think that if I were hungry, I would actually tell you? How could I possibly be hungry? The whole world is mine. Ho'chal b'sar b'rim v'dama tudim eshted. Do you think that I eat the flesh of the offerings that you bring me? Do you think that I drink the blood of the goats? These rhetorical, almost sarcastic questions are used to drive home a point. Obviously, this is being addressed to generations where sacrifices were very much part of our religious practice, but it also applies to us as well, as we will see. Unlike the Egyptian gods or the Greek pantheon, where sacrifices were brought in order to appease the gods or bribe them somehow in their philosophy, Hashem says that the ritual of sacrifices. Do you think that bringing a karban can undo the hypocrisy that you display? If you recall, we mentioned in Perek Memches that one of the reasons that Rashi explained that Yerushalayim is the Mesos Kol Haaretz, the seat of happiness, is because it was the place where karbanos were brought, that a person came in feeling dejected with himself and having sinned, and he would bring a karban and feel a sense of relief and joy as he atoned for that sin. Here we are saying that it may not be that easy. It's not magic. It's the intention behind the carbon that is important. The carbon is supposed to bring us to introspection. The carbon isn't a bribe to Hashem, but it is a symbol of one's desire to get closer to Hashem. Carbon from the root word of karov. By taking the physical animal, our possessions, and dedicating it to God, we show that we want to gain closeness. We want to gain proximity to God. In addition to the symbolism of controlling the animalistic urges within us and to channel our passions as represented by the fire that burns the carbon, to channel our passions to the service of Hashem. There's a lot more symbolism relating to the carbon. But the point being, the act of bringing a sacrifice is an act of devotion to Hashem. So Hashem says, I don't need your sacrifices when you display a hypocritical and non-authentic essence. When you're full of dishonesty and hypocrisy, do you think that I want those sacrifices? Thanks, but no thanks, says Hashem. Obviously today, when we read this parak, we can substitute the karban with any religious ritual. Take those lessons and apply it to our religious rituals. And as we know, our prayer, tefillah, has taken the place of sacrifices. Therefore, by extension, we can ask the hard questions. Does God really need our tefillos? Does Hashem need our sitting in the sukkah or singing songs of Hallel on the holidays? When we leave the places of worship and commit crimes against our fellow man, or we act dishonestly in business and take advantage of others or slander others, if we go daven 3 times a day and eat the best hechsher, that's wonderful, but it doesn't erase our sins of dishonesty and slander. So no, says Hashem, I do not want the karbanos that are brought by an insincere person. But, says Hashem in Pasuk Yudalid, Zevach lelokim todah v'shalem le'elyon nidarecha. Sacrifice a karban that represents your true repentance. Todah, from the lashon of v'hisvadeh, a karban of confession. Engage in introspection and do an authentic accounting of admission of guilt. And pay your vows if you made a vow to bring a karban, fulfill that vow. Or Hashem is saying, Zevach lelokim todah, bring a karban todah, a karban that represents our sincere appreciation of the gifts that Hashem has bestowed upon us. If the karban is brought with sincerity, either for the purpose of showing our true appreciation or for the purpose of repentance and introspection, then Pasuk Tes Vav 15, Ukra'eni biyom tzara, then when you call upon me in times of trouble, I will save you, I will rescue you, and you shall honor me by that calling out. This is a plea for the person to be sincere. Don't engage in empty rituals. But as for the Rasha, the one that is not repentant, the one who demonstrates arrogance and hypocrisy, very strong words for this personality in Psukim Tes Zayin through Chaf 16 through 20. Ma lecholus aper chukai. Almost like, how dare you be a teacher of Torah when you are dishonest or act hypocritically. And in Pasuk Yud Zayin 17, you preach morality, but you yourself are immoral and ignore your own words of Musar that you give others. And in Pasuk Yud Ches 18, you hold company with thieves, you have dishonest business dealings, you cheat and you act immorally. And in Yud Tes 19, you are full of evil and duplicity. And in Chaf 20, this Rasha who preaches words of Torah, who offers sacrifices, who is so careful in his outer trappings of his religion, maligns his fellow man. He slanders others. And in Chaf Aleph, Ele asisa v'hecharashti, dimisa heyos eheye kamocha, ochichacha v'erchal einecha. You led a life of dishonesty, yet you haven't been punished. I, Hashem, have remained silent. Do you think that my silence implies that I condone your actions? And Pasuk Chaf Beis 22, Binu nazos shokhechei eloka, pen etrov ve'ein matzil. Understand this, you who seem to have forgotten God. There will be a time when it will be too late to mend your ways, and there will be no escaping the din v'cheshbon that you will receive in the world to come. And Chaf Gimel 23, Zoveach todah yichab danani, v'sam derech, arenu b'yesha elokim. This is a plea to the sinner, to the slanderer, to the dishonest and the hypocritical amongst us to do an about face, to at least begin the process of introspection. He who brings a sincere carbon of thanksgiving or a carbon of admission of guilt, honors me and forges a new path, a new road. And according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Gimel, Yechabdanani with two nuns represents the idea that you will have gained respect in two worlds, both in Olam Hazeh as well as in Olam Haba. And because of this about face and tshuva, he will set the tone and be a model for others. Sam derech. He will pave the way, not just for himself, but sam derech. He will pave the way for others. He will be a role model for others to do the same. So this is a parak of rebuke about the dangers of engaging in empty rituals. And there are many other instances in Tanakh when this type of behavior is so strongly condemned. One example from many, many examples is the first parak of Sefer Yeshayah, Chazon Yeshayahu, the Haftorah that we read on the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. We have very strong words of literally the disgust that Hashem has for the people trampling his courtyard. Lama li rozev chechem yomar Hashem, savati olos, elev v'chelev mar'im v'dam parim u'kvasim v'atudim lo chafatzti. What do I need all your sacrifices for? Do you think that I want all the fat and all the blood of all the animals that you bring as sacrifices? Ki tavo le'ra'os panai mi bikesh zos mi'adchem r'mos chatzerai. When you come to see my face in the Beis HaMikdash, who asked you to trample my courtyard? Because Hashem does not want empty sacrifices. Hashem does not want empty rituals. It disgusts him. Lo tosifu havi minchas shav ketoras to eva hi li. It's an abomination to me. So what does Hashem want? He wants us to purify ourselves and remove our sins. Rachatzu, hizaku, hisiru roa me'alalecha mineged einai. Chidlu heira, limdu heitev, dirshu mishpot, ashru chamotz, shiftu yasom, riv almana. Take up the causes of the less fortunate in society, the yasom and the almana. The bottom line is that we cannot use our religious institutions or our tefillah as a substitute or a crutch for avoiding personal introspection. Think of the animal that we associate with being non-kosher, the pig. There are so many other animals that are not kosher, yet when we say chazer, it's like the mother of all non-kosher, chazer treif. It's the name brand, like you say Kleenex. Kleenex means tissues, right? It's the name brand. Why is it that chazer has come to represent something non-kosher? Because the pig represents hypocrisy. It has an outward physical sign of a split hoof of being kosher, yet internally it does not have that sign. It doesn't chew its cud. Its outer essence conflicts with its inner essence, which is representative of a hypocritical personality who projects innocence and righteousness, which is not consistent with who they really are privately. In fact, Rav Shamsham Ofer Hirsch points out that in Parshas Kisavo, in relation to the brachos and klalos that were to be given on Har Grizim and Har Evel, that the word basas baseser, privately, is added at the beginning and towards the end of the list of curses. He points out that the infractions that are listed are generally the averos that are done in private, which is particularly deserving of a curse. Since those who engage in immoral or dishonest behavior in private under the guise of outward respectability are particularly deserving of a klala. Hashem despises hypocrisy. So this parak seems to be speaking about a person with a way of life, a life outlook, who is a chronic offender privately, and to the world he looks particularly pious. But what does this mean for us? As we know, the words of Tehillim are meant to help us navigate life. So we can ask the question, are we all Risham because we mess up and let our urges get the better of us? Should we ditch davening because we do have kavana when we pray, but we finish and then we go speak that piece of Lashon Hara? What about the regular person who's trying to do his or her best, but is obviously not perfect? Well, we can say that it's a cautionary parak that speaks really to all of us, to try to improve in our consistency, to try to limit the hypocritical attitude that we may have. If we preach something to our children, for example, be consistent. If we're teaching words of Torah, like I am today, embarrassed emoji goes here, I have a lot of work to do, right? We're all a work in progress, and we at least need to know what to strive for. In Perek Chaf Dalet, David HaMelech tells us similarly, although in the inverse, he lauds the person who is pure and sincere. Who can elevate himself to the Har Hashem, meaning the place of the Beis HaMikdash, or who can elevate himself so that the Har Hashem is within himself? Niki kapayim uvar levav, someone who is innocent and pure of heart, someone who is sincere and their outer appearance is a true reflection of who they really are internally. We all have something to strive for. By the way, if anybody has any feedback or insights into what we've learned today, I would love to hear from you. It is challenging teaching virtually without the personal connection. So let me know if you have any questions about this or any other parak that we have learned. You can reach me via the OU or via my email, avivaorlian@gmail.com. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilo Nishmos, Helen Moskowitz, and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II She'eris HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day, sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.